This is my voice, amplified on a microphone. Thank you. The art thing, right? The art thing. If you're funding it, we're going. Anybody wants to fund our international travel?
Hello.
We have any?
Ooh.
Oh, I think she does right here, lady with the glasses.
Oh, right. She's gonna fund it. Great.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
We got another one. Can I hear 10 grand? 10 nice. Grand. We got. Can I hear 11? Dude, you don't have
whoa,
it.
Whoa, look at that. 11.
Can I hear 11.5? 11.5. 11.5. 11.5. 11.5. 11.5.
You guys are
11.5?
Great.
11.5, 11.5. Okay, anybody match 11.5? Going on 12. 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. Do I hear 12? 12 right here. We got 12 over here. 13? We're going to skip the 5. So 13? 13, 13.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we get to 13, they will fly first class all the way. Do I hear 13?
13.
Guys, we're live. We're live on the internet. We're broadcasting live right now.
Live on the internet.
Into that eyeball piece.
This is my voice on the web.
So, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Fat Public Access. My name is Bennett Williamson. I'm your host. I've been your host all week here on our alternate programming stream, streaming live to the internet, talking with a lot of different people in Fat Lab and a lot of other fun performances. We can do that.
Raw and uncut.
No rules. Sex, lies, and videotape.
What?
So, today, we're just dropping in for a little informal conversation before we get to this big boy art panel that's happening in a little bit. For just some, I guess I called it graffiti shit talk hour. I thought it was just time to put some slander on this
channel. That's a fitting
some
title.
Verbal diarrhea just placed all upon this web stream.
Verbal like diarrhea like featuring that. Ski and Tuise.
The web is sort of like
New
a
York.
big diarrhea bowl anyway. It's just
that's
like a
right.
bunch of shit, you know.
That's right. We're right at home. We're just going to stir up the pot. So I invited the two best-dressed men in Fat Lab, Mike Baca.
And Fernando Romero.
Fernando Romero.
I'm actually Fernando Romero. Not them. But thanks for the intro, man. These guys are great.
Bueno, dime algo de ustedes. ¿De dónde son ustedes?
Ah, nosotros somos de Nueva York. Vivimos en Brooklyn y pintamos con el corazón.
Pintamos la calle con los nombres de nosotros. U-R-E, Nueva York.
Mike told me you guys were in L.A. not long ago and narrowly escaped the Echoes, the Wrath of the Echoes gang.
Oh, man. Remember those guys, the Vatos?
Yes. They were hot on our trail.
You know, we're just trying to, like, write our name and, you know, leave our mark on the L.A. streets. And every time we look back, there's one thug. Look back again, two thugs. Look back again.
10 thugs. This obscure sound goes off, and then many thugs, and it's like, all right, wait a minute, I think we just crossed.
Yeah, so, but I mean, is New York graffiti thugged out right now? Like, are you, or are we grown ass men now? Not we, you guys. I don't do shit.
I mean, it kind of depends who you're talking to, and it depends what the story is. I mean, I don't think New York is as thug as it once was. But you talk to others that are kind of still living that life, and they'll be like, nah, dude, on my block, you know, it's real. And, I mean, I see it, I hear about it, but, you know, it kind of depends who you talk to.
Shout out to gentrification for fucking things up.
Yo, there's always been kids.
But they also, gentrification also helped it, too, you know? You know how they have, like a poster of, like, thugs and all that, and they'll say, like, there goes the neighborhood. We could just make a nice poster of all the white people coming. Here comes the neighborhood. You know? Gentrification.
It should be like a
great
big parade.
Cafes. I get a great latte now. No Dunkin' Donuts.
Organic.
What?
I mean, but there's always been kids coming in from the suburbs, too, to act tough and go bombing.
True, but they didn't stay long enough to, like, really...
Yeah, what's the difference? What's the difference between those kids and the people that...
Well, it's like you live it, you know? It's like you are where you are, and, you know, you become it, and there's a certain, you know, swag. There's a certain way to kind of present yourself, and people be like, oh, you're from, not, oh, I could tell you visited
right.
somewhere. So, you know, you are what you eat, and, you know.
Yeah, we're a dying breed, like actual New Yorkers, you know? So, yeah, definitely.
What do you guys, I mean... I was talking to someone recently that he was a writer sort of out in San Francisco and based in L.A. now. And we were talking about how, you know, I've been peripherally involved with graffiti and was more involved at the time when we met in sort of the mid-2000s, but I was saying with this guy, like, it's been through graffiti I've met some of the best people, and I've also met some of the worst people. And it's like, it has exposed me to different lifestyles and different, just like, people that I thought I would never know. Have you found that, like, do you feel the same way about that?
Yeah, best and worst, man. You got, like, I mean, fuck. I think at all time, at one point in time, we were all the worst, you know, but you get grown and become an adult. And, like, for us, for instance, we do this for a living now. It's time to grow up certain, you know, but we can still indulge in foolish fuckery. I mean, we love doing that, you know. That's, like, what keeps us alive, you know. Like, you need that. So, I mean, the people we've met along the road, I'll never take it back, you know. Like, going to jail for the thing, meeting all these people in jail and coming back home, and then, I don't know, man, I'm just happy to be right smack in the middle. You know, I'm happy where I'm at, and I don't know, in the graffiti world, I guess.
No, it's true. We've been blessed. You know, you meet, like you say, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I think that's the beauty, because if you met everybody that was good and no one that was bad, like, you have nothing to compare it to. You can't go home and be like, wow, I just met the craziest person that I've ever met, and, you know, and then you have a story, you have something to compare it to. You don't judge, but it's just like, wow, that's a unique person. That's a, you know, how did they sleep and how they wake up is beyond me. And, you know, it's just another conversation. So it's what makes life interesting.
Maybe it's something that makes you work harder on both ends of the spectrum, right? Because you're like, I don't want to be that guy. That guy's got it going on.
Yep.
So I was wondering, like, who were some of your guys, as you really shifted and, like, in the time, you know, we haven't seen each other that long. Like, it's like, yeah, you guys are paying the bills off doing art and graffiti now. And, but, you know, I remember a time when you guys were, like, starting to hustle, getting really serious about, like, selling paintings, being on the street, promoting yourselves, like, really getting the brand together and everything. Who were people that, did you have, like, mentors or people that you saw as, like, an example of success that you were sort of, not modeling yourself after, but that you looked up to in that regard?
Just Bennett, man. Just you, brother. We just model ourselves after you, you know? You know, gingers, you know, we're fellow gingers, so fuck, man. You set a great example for me, brother.
Yeah, somos de diferentes madres, pero somos juntos.
Somos juntos.
There were definitely people that, at least in my life, that I always looked up to. I mean, they weren't even artists. They were just people that were able to hold their own and just be great role models without even trying. You know.
I guess I mean, like, we were seeing, like, when we were working on Graffiti Research Lab stuff, we were seeing, like, oh, yo, like, people that are doing street art right now are, like, catapulting that into, like, galleries and museums and, like, selling stuff. So there was, like, that. There was definitely that influence going on. It's like, yo, it's in that the wider art world was taking notice, certainly, of what was happening.
Yeah, that gave us the opportunity to go over some of these people, you know? You know who you are. You know who you are. Nah, because you got a lot of culture vultures out there that take something that we, not to say that we created it, but we're the ones that it stemmed from, where it was birthed, you know, like the people who went through the struggle. Like, a lot of the people who you ask why you do graffiti is because we ain't got nothing else to do, man. Like, this is how we release our pent-up anger, aggression. This is our way of having our names in the lights, our way of fame, you know, like, we don't have nothing else. This is why we do it. That's the core, the essential. You know, you have other people, like people that we go over, that are doing it strictly for a monetary sense or because they think it's cool and they think they're going to get somewhat street credibility out of it, you know? So shout out to you guys. Thank you. And this makes us look a lot more better, you know?
Let me ask you guys something. This is something I ask of a lot of artists that get successful. I think part of being an artist, right, is you pick something that you really love, you focus on it, you're super dedicated at it, you get really good at it, but it's like a really specific thing. And then suddenly, when you have to make money off that, you become a small business owner all of a sudden. And you're like, man, I always wanted to be an artist. I didn't want to be a small business owner.
And then the IRS comes and says, hey, you made a lot of money this year. Give me half.
How have you guys been dealing with that? I mean, maybe this is like a really practical question, but I think it's one that's healthy for like people to talk about, for artists to talk about.
I think that, I guess when you hit that point, as an artist and you're like, okay, well, you know, I'm painting and I do landscapes. Be like, fuck, man, how many landscapes can I do? Or how many variations of this? Or how can I take this and, you know, make money off of it? You know, how can I diversify, you know, my portfolio, whatever? That's when you kind of have to start thinking, you know, not as an artist, but like as a businessman. And, you know, kind of start looking around you and say, ooh, where does my art fit? Sort of like, you know, if you're, as a new artist, walking into like the world and saying, ooh, which gallery, you know, should I try to be represented by? You know, art is everywhere. Art is on a phone, art is on plates, art is on towels. Art is so, it's so vast, it's crazy. But if you kind of take that and then you say, all right, I don't want to sell out. I don't want to dilute what I have, but I want to make it special. Make it special, you know, create, you know, small artistic runs of, you know, embellished whatever, t-shirt, etc. Like, start packaging yourself as, you know, not as a as an artist, but almost like, you know, like your people are buying into you, but they're getting more than they're getting. You know, it's now you're giving them more rather than, all right, before it was a canvas and I was charging X. Now I can do, you know, a small run of those and, you know, charge less, but now there's more. It's just kind of just thinking different also, with your art.
And it goes with us. Like, I think our key to success is like the whole motto, be who you are. We never changed our beliefs. Whenever our ideals became compromised, we put a big middle finger in the air. It was fuck you. We're going to do whatever we want to do. You know, and that's what keeps it authentic. That's what keeps people not, yeah, you could say buying into it, mm-hmm. not in a bad way, but you know, some people to follow us. We have more followers that way, you know, like yeah. we're keeping it.
No,
we're
you
keeping
have to create real, no that, matter what. Something know? That's for the masses, you know, because the masses, that's who believes in you and looks at you, and you want everybody to have a piece of something. You know, you want to have everyone involved. You want to have everyone excited. And it's not about, you know, a high ticket item, you know, it's about keeping people interested. And, you know, those things only keep people so interested, you know.
It's always raising the bar too, and always staying relevant. That's why, like, for artists, staying relevant is super important. You know, like, you have one artist who will start doing a fire extinguisher initiative or paint rollers or wheat paste, but that's simply to stay relevant and to stay like in the now. Like, we're in the we're working.
Yeah, you hear me?
All right. But now we're in the internet age, man. Like, we can do a job for fucking Guggenheim or something tomorrow. We'll tweet about it today. 5 minutes later, your timeline is gone. You know, it's not true. Like, it's gone. So you have to. I actually heard this from Jay-Z, so big up to Jay-Z. You have to flood the internet. You have to. As a brand, you have to flood the internet.
I'm just curious, like, how that process feels for you guys, like, of starting, you were saying, Fernando, like, having to change the way you think about yourself, literally, like, having to, was it weird that if, I mean, Mike, you've made it clear, like, you guys weren't going to compromise. Do you feel like you were able to make that transition smoothly? Like, was it a struggle? Did you ever feel like you were giving something up by making it a business and not just like a hobby?
I think luckily we were kind of caught like right in that perfect cusp of like everything was right, like all the stars were aligned. Like, you know, you're figuring out what you're doing, you're kind of seeing the influence that you're having, you know, with your art. Like, forget about everything else. Like, you're going out there setting up with a cart of art, and there's a family from halfway around the world that's been standing there for an hour waiting for you. And you're like, wow, like, that's
big. Because this is you guys selling stuff right on the street. What was and on Green Street?
Right? Yeah, right on Prince and Green. For so, like, year, every, for, yeah, yeah, for like four, you know, 4.5 years. And, like, I think everything we learned is just cause and effect. Like, what you learn from being, you know, being in love with what you do and doing it every day and not really caring about the money or anything else, just doing it because you love it. And then you reap all the benefits like that come with it. The people that have seen you standing there for years that have now, that will now speak to you because, okay, you've been here long enough, so you're obviously serious. And now that they'll open up their doors, their connects, their things, I mean, Mike can contest. It's crazy.
Yeah, was it from street conversations? Like, is that how you met gallery owners and stuff? Like, people being like, hey, I see you guys out here doing work?
It's everything that has been brought to us is about our reputation, dude. Like, anything that we've ever done, any project we've ever done, we've done it 120%. You know, like from the smallest project, hey, I'll give you $10 to come here and write your name on the wall. We're gonna do that like we're getting paid $1 million. You know, same way how we do a high-end job, we're not gonna like cut back or nothing. But that's why most of the jobs we've gotten is personal reference, dude. Like, yeah. I don't know how. Like, we have no, I mean, we have gallery representation now, but as for PR and putting our word out on the street, simply us, man. We run every aspect of our company. We do ourselves, from the internet, from the graphic design, from the websites, from the social networks, from the actual doing the art, marketing, advertising, everything, you know? So.
And it just stemmed from, like, meeting good people. Like, yeah, there is zero, there's no formula to, like, you know, it's almost like you do good and you meet somebody, you know, like a child, like they have those State Farm commercials and they're like, oh, the puppies over here, they like this person. But then this person comes along and they love her. And it's just like, you know, you're doing what you love to do and you meet these people and they sort of attract you for different reasons. And then, you know, you take an advice or you listen to something they say and somehow there'll be a good change. Like there's, you know, we've all been educated in different ways and we go about things differently.
How's that been? I mean, like, have you had like mentors or people that have helped, like helped you work through the art world at all and like sort of find your way?
We have our few that have been, you know, our, you know, fairy god people that have sort of been put there and they'll, you know, give you advice and what to do. But I think a lot is like just our instincts, our, you know, just sort of sitting at home, be like, all right, what do we do?
Yeah.
Is that a good move? Is that something that we need?
One other nuts and bolts question, like how does it break down for you in terms of like, because I know, like, for example, you know, it's natural, a lot of graffiti people have gone on to start their own like mural companies or advertising companies. Because that's like, hey, that's like out in the streets. That's what you're competing with for space in the streets. So it's only natural. But you guys seem to do a lot of commissions, have a lot of clients that you work with. How does it break down? Like, what's the percentage, like commercial work maybe versus like gallery and client work?
Dude, it's all over the place. It's completely. One day we'll do. It's crazy. Last week we were at Google. It's funny, like ironic. Ironically, we're being called by Google to their offices. Now this week we're driving a Google car, you know. That's why it's funny. Like we posted a photo with the fake Google Glass on, and everybody thinks it's real. Perception versus reality. That's what Ski always says, and it's true. You know, like as soon as we posted, hey, we're gonna go see Google today. Everybody thinks because they know our track record. Everybody's thinking for the best. Like for instance, again, we put up a subway poster, just because we contacted the Arts for Transit, and they were like, hey, nah, we don't think your art fits here. And
really?
And then I look at the board members, like I did my further research, and the board members are all stuffy, like fine artists, like people who draw fucking cornucopias and pumpkins and shit. You know, like that's who the board is, you know? So what we did is we went on a subway and we measured our own ads and we put in our own ads. Everybody thinks it's real. Everybody's congratulating us, like, oh, thank God the fucking MTA finally.
It's
like,
about
time. And we didn't say nothing till now. Till now. But, you know, it's that, man. Like, it's weird, dude.
What else has been fun? Like, what's been a memorable job you guys had in the last year?
Brazil? Yo, we get called out, like, hey, yeah, Brazil's doing this huge sustainability conference.
Oh,
this
is
we
funny.
Need graffiti artists. Sustainability? Spray paint, aerosol. All right.
This is going to be interesting.
Like, we better roll with this before they figure it out.
And then exactly. the second incentive was like, yeah, we're going to have you paint these large sea creatures, parade float type things that we went to college campuses and we created by melting down the bottles, whatever they use, the recycled goods. I'm like, all right, fuck it, let's go, you know? We get down to Brazil, it's like a two foot turtle. You know, like
there were like 10 of them.
A fucking pelican and a jellyfish. Right?
And then
we're like, what do we do?
Oh, and a seagull. And a
seagull, yeah. It wasn't a
seagull. Two of each.
So we get down there and without them even telling us, we didn't even know that they're doing sustainability, and then to make it more appealing to everyone else, they made it like their own Woodstock. So we're hanging out with Rage Against the Machine, fucking Incubus, Linkin Park, every top rock group ever. We're there, like, just hanging out with them. We didn't even know what the fuck we were doing there. Like, we don't know why. And we're spray paint everywhere, and everybody's like, why is this so bad for the
environment? Wait, is this water-based? Is this eco-friendly? And we're like, yeah, Montana. Yeah, sure. Yeah, this is, you know, for the air, you know, clear as Montana.
You're like, yeah, Montana's known for its many national parks.
Right. But we got two fucking beautiful suites at the Hilton in Sao Paulo overlooking the city. Yeah. You know, everything all expense paid. Thank you, guys.
You know? Thank you, Brazil. Wow, so you painted some pelicans and then
and
had
then,
some extra
on,
beach
a couple
time.
Of months later, we get a fucking truck in front of our house. A truck. With the fucking pelicans, dude. With the
and
pelicans
everything.
In the turtle. Why do we want this?
They sent like, everything to us.
They gave it back to us, dude. I'm like, yo, dude, the pallets were the size of this fucking screen, right? Yeah. And we live in an apartment. Like third floor up. We don't know how we're going to do this.
The door was like 3x5 and these pallets were like 8 feet. And we're like, really? Yeah.
I think our old landlord still
huge
has them
mess.
In the basement somewhere.
What's your studio situation? Like, where do you guys, what's the setup?
We're in Brooklyn. You know, we have a nice duplex.
In
so.
Bushwick or East Williamsburg.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys do a mix of like silk screening, aerosol stuff.
Yep. Collage, mixed
media.
Do
you like build your own canvases and things like
build
that?
Everything.
Cool.
We went from like buying stuff and or buying stuff, you know, and then we became a business.
So now we actually literally have to buy stuff,
it's tax deductible, you know. We can't steal everything, you know, like fuck. We gotta have some loss at the end of the year.
Ironic, isn't it?
That's what changes it, right? It's crazy, dude. We're forced to be businessmen. Dude. But in a sense it's making us better people. It's weird, right?
Yeah, do people ask you now? Like, do you get younger people looking up to you being like, yo, how the hell do I take this hobby of scribbling all over on shit? And like,
see, that's the beauty.
Skeez actually,
I mentor. I talk to like a lot of people, like anyone that has questions. Like, I try to mentor them because there's no formula to like what we, you know, there wasn't a textbook like, okay, first, create a body of work. Second, stand outside and sell work for 4 years. Next, you're going to talk to people and create networks. Like, no one. You know, that's just what we learned. Like, it wasn't a textbook.
I'll show you how to do this,
son. You know, so, you know, I mentor people, and hey, sometimes it works. And
it's interesting because I was talking to Mike about this earlier, and I was talking to Evan about it at length.
Where is Evan, by the way?
Where is Evan?
Paging Evan.
I was talking
Roth.
To Evan Roth.
Evan Roth. Paging
somewhere.
Evan Roth.
But, you know, like, I spend my part of my day job, like, working in the fine art industry, you know, like working in an art studio for someone that's represented by a gallery and like makes photos and sculptures and blah, blah, blah. And like basically what I've sort of been learning is like, if you're an artist, it's very rare that you're gonna be in the situation where you're like making work and just selling it and like getting by that way, right? Most people have like a few different hustles. A lot of that is like, you go to grad school and you can be a teacher, so you can teach art and you keep that gig because it's always going to be good. Like, say your art's hot right now, but then it falls out of favor, you always got that teaching job, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there's sort of like, I think one thing that's been cool for me and like just keeping tabs on you guys over the years, and even though I don't even live in New York, just like watching you guys on social networks and like do your thing on Twitter, it's cool to see how you guys like had a different course, you know what I mean? It's like, if you really like work hard, put your name out there, you get your brand right, you're doing a lot of the same things that people that come like out of art school or like trying to be teachers like try to take an angle at it. Or Evan, I was speaking to about it too, it's like started as an architect, got really interested in the internet, and then like started figuring out ways like, how do I take these ideas off a computer screen and like packaging them in a way that I can get into the art world.
Finding your own niche, you know, finding your own wave and riding it. And speaking of social networks, what's the link to this thing? Where can we tell our people to see this?
Gold.fat.com.
Right now? Can we do it right now? Is it live right now?
It's on the front page. Yo, it's been live.
All right, hold on.
Gold.fat.com.
Let's tweet this right now. We're tweeting live.
You could just retweet the tweet from Fat Lab that I already put when we started.
Retweet the tweet.
Dude, I'm going to have to find the shit on my timeline. Hold on.
Too many hot girls on there.
Nah, that's the personal one. Personal.
Nah, but a lot of that goes back to like, you know, diversifying your portfolio. You know, it's like you do art in galleries, now you can do interiors and paint walls, now you can come out with limited edition prints, now you can do collaborations with different artists, now you can you know, sky's the limit.
What's something you haven't done that you always wanted to do? You still want to do, I mean.
Paint an entire building. More than five stories. Like, well, five stories would be nice.
Okay.
More than two stories. But the whole entire thing. I mean, I would love to do that.
Homewares, you want to do a line of?
Whatever we've talked about.
Any like design objects and stuff you guys would like to do?
Yeah, we'd love to design a hotel. So which means tables, rugs, interiors, like. That's later on in the future. But, yeah, I mean, all that would be nice in limited quantities. Like I said, you know, you don't want to put something in, a Kmart, but you want to be super exclusive and, you know, only select few get to get it.
And, yes, Kmart has came up to us and asked us for it.
Yes. And Target.
You know, and you know what we did?
Said no.
Sorry, Target. Sorry, Kmart.
How has being in Fat Lab affected the way you guys think about your work?
Dude, we're freaking stars. You guys, like, opened up the world of, like, electros and all that stuff to us. And, jeez.
Look what we're talking into right now.
Look where it's being, you know, broadcasted, too. It's, like, it's a whole new world. There's 5,000 people in this room, but no one out there knows, you know, because everyone is so nice and quiet. Uh-huh. Thank you guys for all being so quiet. We really appreciate it.
Now let's do the wave. Fat Lab opened up a lot of doors, man. Like, when I was getting indicted and going to jail, that right here in this very room, we had the fundraisers for me to get some money to pay the lawyers and whatnot. I went to jail, and I'm getting fan mail from around the world, you know, like, I remember this. I never met the person, but I could picture a little Korean girl, you know, because she sent me this postcard with a samurai and said, "Stay strong like samurai. Wow. We love you." You know, I'm like, "What the fuck, dude?" I'm like, "Holy so shit!" Awesome. And then like a little 12-year-old kid, "I'm sorry I couldn't cut school to see your party." Blah blah blah. You know, it's crazy, dude. For you guys to be able to open that to all different audience in the World Wide Web and just everybody knowing about the story, you know, it definitely wouldn't have been the same if it was just me getting arrested and no one really gave a fuck, you know?
Well, I think a part of the reason that Graffiti Research Lab was a successful project was that it was a way that, I think it was just honestly like showing what lots of graffiti writers know about like tactics, about just like tactics and urban space and like how do you navigate that? How do you know it? How do you investigate it? How do you mark it up? How do you communicate with people? I mean, what else do you think graffiti writers could teach the art world? Or just
we've already taught big corporate America about marketing and advertising, hence the full Target cards and Macy cards on the subways. Where did they get that from?
Oh, yeah, aren't they doing, like, full interiors now?
Yeah, I wonder
like
where they get that from, you know?
And things that make you go,
And then they
remember Arsenio Hall? Things that make you go, this big-ass finger.
This is like 1 foot long.
Nah, it's like we've taught them like most advertising, guerrilla tactics and whatnot came from us, you know, like the wheat pacing and whatnot. Like you see the subway ads now when you're in the subway station, how they changed. They just put them up like huge stickers now. Have you noticed that? How they put them directly onto the tile?
Yeah, on the outside. Yeah.
They're like, oh shit, look, we got more ad spaces. Let's cover the entire station. Mm. The post is just these marked areas with frames, you know? Stickers, dude. It goes simply to stickers, dude. You know, like they found a way. Of course, they could afford to print out these massive stickers, you know? So, shit, they got it from us too, man. A lot, man. They've gotten all those tactics from us, dude. Do we get any credit? No. So we have to take our credit.
None.
Let me ask you something. How is it dealing with the fact that you've had like these pseudonyms, like your name on the street, that's gotten you in trouble a lot, but now it's like people know that you are them. You know what I mean? And that's part of it. Like, is that a weird legal line to walk? Like, do you get like you guys are doing enough legitimate stuff at this point that it's like you can be like, yeah, that's me.
Or
like,
I don't know. I hope that it cancels out. Like, that's, you know, that's all I could say. I mean, I think that I don't like to say, but I think we've become an inspiration. I think that people, you know, look at us as like, wow, you know, these guys did it. They came, you know, I saw them hustle. And that's the thing. Like, people that seen us come up or seen us do, they actually seen us. They seen us out there in Soho for years in the cold. They seen us have shows because they all came and they all supported. So people that, you know, have been around us appreciate what we've done. Nothing's been given to us. Like, we didn't get anything for free.
Yeah, but I mean, like, do you still get hassled by the cops?
Oh, you're talking about that? Oh, cops. Who looks for those? No one looks for cops.
I mean, now we also...
I don't
we
know.
Got we got lawyer money and stuff now, too.
That's
now.
Good.
If we need it. If we need it, you know?
Yeah.
But lawyer money's available.
No. You see, we don't talk about them. Before you never think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, you don't mention them, and they stay far, far away.
Yeah, dude, I remember when I was, like, bombing the street, and the minute anyone would say, be careful out there, don't get arrested, I wouldn't go. I'm like, fuck.
Like, right,
you done jinxed the whole situation. I'm not going. As long as I'm not hearing their name, like sometimes, yeah, all right, I'm going to say it, fuck it. But sometimes we'd paint directly behind the cop because we knew we could see them and they're not seeing
exactly.
us. It's the thrill, dude. It's definitely the thrill of walking that fine line, you know? Like, fuck. I think that's what graffiti artists love. I think that's what gets the blood pumping. It's not the same. You give me a huge wall right now, like paint this. You're allowed to paint it. It's not the same, dude, than me coming at night and painting it, you know?
I mean, it's different. Like, some people like to say, oh, like, it's so brazen to do it in daytime. But, like, some of that's about, like, how people don't even look around them.
They
and
don't.
If you just, like,
people
are...
People are oblivious.
Yeah. If you can, like, change the way you look and, like, just stop all of a sudden and look around you and be like, I'm all alone. Yeah. You know,
dude, if we were to dress up as Hasidic Jews right now and just walk around and paint everywhere, no one would say nothing.
Yo, but I heard they're crazy, like in Williamsburg, yo. Like, I've heard about.
I've got jumped by them, dude.
Yeah, that's
jumped.
What I'm saying. And, like, held down and, like.
Dude,
yeah.
I remember I'm getting chased by a bunch of Hasidic Jews, right? And, like, 5 minutes into the run, I'm like, what the fool? Why am I running away from you guys, dude? Like, why am I running away from you guys? Like, I don't even know what I did wrong, you know? So I turn around, I'm just like, the first one that comes up to me, I'm just going to smack the shit out of him, you know? Like, I'm not going to punch him, I'm just going to smack him, you know? So I'm there, and I'm just like, formed up, and I'm waiting. First one that comes to me, and it was literally like the smack heard around fucking Bensonhurst, you know? It was crazy, dude. Bad thing. They all fucking tackled me like football players, and I'm screaming. I'm like, please help me. Like, please. The cops come. They grab me, arrest me. I'm just like, this is not fair, dude. Like, what is going on?
So I wasn't there that night.
This is the life we live right there, you know? Shout out to the Jewish Defense League, JDL, eating red lights for no reason. You know who you are. You've seen them.
Is there any new technology that the NYPD is using to watch us?
The Google car?
More cameras.
More cameras?
Yeah. I think there's just more cops on the street.
Dude, and Instagram. Twitter, all that stuff. Social media. It's like you're snitching yourself.
We're giving ourselves up. Like, I put stickers up on the way here, and I came. It's like, oh, wait, I knew you were close. I saw your post.
It's kind of crazy.
And I'm like, You know, so you got to be careful because, you know, we kind of post things up just without thinking, but, you know, there's definitely somebody on the other end whose job is to kind of, you know, look at what we're doing and monitor and say, okay, you know what, that sticker, that's the last line, bring him in.
Have you seen some good shit recently that you're like, yo, these young kids are staying one step ahead of the game, they're still innovating? Anything?
No. I mean...
No?
Next question, please.
I think it's our generation and the guys, like, older than us that are maintaining that line, you know? They're still learning from us, dude. You know, like, I haven't seen... What young artists have you seen graffiti since, like, doing anything that's innovative right now? Who?
I mean,
besides
I don't know.
Bombing. Bombing is bombing. We know what bombing is. Taking bombing to the next level, I don't know. I don't think I've seen that. You know?
I don't know. I'm kind of on the spot right now. There's people doing some cool stuff. I just can't really think about it right now.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. About, like... In, you know,
like,
again, in the mid-2000s, it was like, oh, fire extinguishers, like, that's hot. Like, that's new tool.
All right,
different scale, you know what I mean?
I don't know their age, but those Sci-Five and all of them, all the guys who took the fire extinguishers, and now they're doing outlines.
Cool outlines.
It's so weird how you could, like, just make something better by, all right, outline, you're going to do a regular tag in fire extinguisher. You know what? Let me do an outline. Let me do a fill-in. You know, it's just one step that makes it even better. So you see these guys... doing a lot of that.
It's like the hybrid of hybrid of like extinguishers like on the top and then like cans on the bottom, so it'll kind of like flare up to like
cool.
And you got like smells and cash four going rollers or like rollers. You know, taking that from Revs and Peak and all the roller guys, but they took it in their outlines and doodads and shit.
And adding a lot of color, like, you know, before it was just a white, just white or black. Now it's just, they're fun to look at. I think graffiti is kind of like a little bit more fun and it's more looser now. I mean, there's just a lot of...
Yeah, it seems it.
There's a lot of art and a lot of artists coming in from out of town, which is kind of... You know, I mean, New Yorkers will always be proud to be New Yorkers. I mean, fuck, man, this is my city. It's where I come from. I'll kill somebody for it. But I love it, and I'm so open to just everything that's happening. I mean, look around the world and, you know, just a different scale and heights where graffiti has gone. I mean...
Yeah, it seems like it's more international. Just, you know, and you guys are traveling.
It's blowing up, and it's just beautiful to see. But... At the same time, we're trying to catch up to what's already been going on all over the world. Like, we've been so into bombing and doing the whole tag and graffiti thing and kind of just being corner and name happy that we just now realizing, like, holy shit, hold on, I'm doing this art and I can do so much more with it. That's why you have these artists coming, you know, coming out of the woodwork, like, wait a minute, I painted in the 80s and I did my thing. Don't write me out of the history books, because, like, they owned it. Like, we owned this, you know? So now that we can do more with it, now people are now creating art. They want to, you know, solidify who they were, the role that they played in the time that we are. Because
it's kind of interesting, like, just talking about history, to think about how graffiti is such a difficult thing. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think graffiti has seen a lot of cultural, like, people have really been, like, you know, there's been movies and lots of documentaries and books, and it's visual art, so it lends itself to being documented in a way, there's, like, a lot of stories that have been forgotten and a lot of personal history that's been forgotten. It's kind of similar to, like, making art online. It's, like, digital and ephemeral. There's, like, I never thought that they kind of suffer from the same problem in a way. We forget. It's really easy to look at what's hot and new and forget about who came before because you went over them. Do you guys think we should open it up for some questions in case anybody's got any questions?
I know there's, like, 5,000 people in here, but if we can have some type of order.
Just
one
at a time.
By one
at a time, guys.
Yeah, please, everyone, calm down.
Please, calm down. Hold on. Yes.
What's your name?
What's your name?
What is it?
Christina.
Hi, Christina.
This is Christina's question, everybody.
What do you guys think about, like, old
graffiti
artists coming back?
Hated it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Remember? Living color.
All right.
Can I just repeat the question? Because, you know, we got to get it on the mics.
On the mics.
So that everyone. So Christina's question was, what do you think about older graffiti writers coming back?
Yes.
Question number one.
Coming
question,
back or in general?
Like coming back. Like, I mean, all right.
Can I answer both?
Yeah. And the second question was, have you ever gotten hurt or injured going out?
I mean, for the old graffiti artists coming back, I love it, man. Because it's showing all these kids and new jacks, like,
how it's done.
Like, how it's done, and then, like, I mean, for me, when I got into the graffiti world, I'm one of the few people that actually did their homework and knew their history. Like, you have all these kids, and like, oh, look, I love the name Cost. That's me now. I'm going to write Cost everywhere. That's like Fernando coming out tomorrow being a rapper, and like, yeah, I'm going to be Tupac. It's not cool, you know? It's like, there's no respect for it, you know? So I love that they're coming back and they're showing people how it's done.
It gets exciting to see, you know, they're probably like, I don't know, a couple of years back, graffiti was super stagnant. And, you know, you just see, like, these newcomers and, like, all right, it's nice. It's good to see the culture going. But when you see, like, an old-timer come back and they start catching tags, like, you know, you have Easy right now running around the city, it's the biggest rush to, like, see that, because that's what we grew up seeing. Like, those were
the
fathers, you know? That, like, you know, took, you know, educated us and, like, the guys that we seen growing up. So it's just, like, almost revisiting the past. It's like, all right, you're not gone yet. Like, graffiti is still very much alive when you have, you know, guys like that, you know, doing this 3, 4, 5 times over within their career. I mean, that's a lot.
Can we get a round of applause for Evan Roth, who just stepped in the building?
Evan Roth, everybody.
I have a quick story too on the older guys. When Graffiti Research Lab went to Rotterdam to do laser tag, there was this older guy there, and we got to talking to him, and he's like, yeah, look, man, I got 2 kids. My day job is I work for the biggest outdoor advertiser in Rotterdam, putting up these giant billboards and giant advertising all around the city. At night, I go bombing. He's like, I've been doing graffiti since I was young. I stopped for a while, raised these kids, and he's like, I work in advertising. I'm just gonna go out and do it for myself. And it was interesting. It was just a grown man's hobby.
Yo, but it's that rush that keeps you alive and doesn't. It shows you that you're not a robot. You're not a sheep. You know.
And you're not old.
You know, it keeps you forever young, dude. Fuck, I know what, I remember Fernando, this Fernando, he always says, he's like, I want to be that 70-year-old fucking guy that gets arrested doing the thing.
I want to be like 70-something, because they're going to be like, all right, first of all, why? And then obviously I'll be taken in, and hopefully I'll have, some type of fame and credibility, and be like, oh, really? It's you? And then it'll be a big media story. Hopefully Evan Roth will cover it. Evan Roth, everyone. But it'll be funny.
What about the second question? Have you guys ever?
Fuck, man.
You guys ever been hurt?
You got time for this?
No, not really. I mean, I might have hurt my finger, or I got cut by barbed wire, but nothing like.
Yeah, a lot of barbed wire. A lot of barbed wire being done. Falling off of buildings, landing in big piles of throw up. Somehow, randomly, it's like, oh, cops coming, jump. Oh, that hurt. That really hurt. Fights every now and then, but thank God we haven't been hit by trains or shot or anything like that. But yeah, we've poked holes in our bodies,
Got bumps and bruises,
scratches
and
whatnot. But
luckily,
what kind of injuries were you thinking though? Yeah, totally. It's dangerous in there. It's fun as hell, but it's dangerous.
Hey, Jackson.
Any other questions, guys? Any other questions? What's your name?
Check. Thanks, man. It's good.
Hey, MC.
Hey, sorry, another question.
Oh, hold on. Can I get some sound like that?
Yes, to the...
Yeah, I just said my password online.
Gave up his iPhone password online.
5757.
Oh, you better change that right now.
Change that shit right away.
Yes, we have a question from the young lady in the third row here.
Hello.
Ah, how we met.
We're actually twins.
Yeah,
we're actually twins. We met in the womb.
But a decade apart. High five.
You want to say it?
Huh?
You're good at it. He says his story so good.
No, it's good.
All right, cool.
We had a mutual friend who was younger, and this was back when Mike was running a rampant in the city and doing their thing. And I was like, who? See, this is the beauty about graffiti, right? You meet a lot of interesting people. So this is an example of an interesting person. I was like, who the fuck are these kids and what are they doing and how are they getting away?
That was my phone, everybody.
All right. And how are they kind of getting away with what they're doing? So I kind of did my research, and I was like, all right, this is how we're connected through this one kid. And then, it took a couple of months, probably about 4 months, to just go back and forth and be like, yo, meet this kid. He's doing a video, blah, blah. So we ended up meeting, and when we met, we painted a wall in College Point at the Home Depot out there, which is probably back in 2006. So we don't even know each other for a long, long time. But we met and started working, and it was just one of those things. We didn't go out and have beers. We just sort of worked and kind of had the same drive. And
yeah, we both had similar
mindsets. We still really haven't had a real conversation since then. Because we've just been sort of vibing off that vibe. It's like, all right, it's still cool.
Yeah, we're like elephants. We communicate telepathically. So we're painting, and I just grunt at him and he goes, and then we're like, something like that. Yeah, but it's kind of a bromance,
Yeah,
definitely
cool.
A bromance. Like, it just, it clicks, man. Like, we both have our eye on the same prize. We both work the same way, same work ethics, kind of same ideals, you know. We never really argue. It's nothing that serious, you know. We're just focused on what we want to do and becoming who we want to become, you know. So.
On that, a similar question.
Word.
Now that you guys are, like, business partners, like, how do you break up the business? Is someone the money man? Is someone the ideas man?
He's the money man. This guy's the money man right here.
Nah, it's just, you know, like, the money's in a pot.
Is someone good? Like, who updates the website? Like, who does the, you know?
Oh, like, yeah, Mike does, like when it comes to website and kind of those analytics and stuff, like, Mike does that. I'm
trying to hire Evan to do it now.
Yeah, Evan Roth. Is Evan Roth available for hire?
Would you like to run our website and shit?
Yes.
I think we have time for a couple more questions.
Any more questions?
Anyone out of the 5,000 people in the audience? Yeah. Hey!
Uh-oh.
Oh my God, are we going to Mars?
Well, actually, if you could bring your art to any time period, where would it be?
Oh, if you could bring your art to any time period,
dude,
where would it be?
I would love to,
good,
like,
question.
To be in Italy, like, you know, when Michelangelo's doing his thing, the Renaissance era, and kind of.
People will flip the fuck out, though. Graffiti artists in the Renaissance,
crazy.
You know?
But I'm talking, like, you know, like sculptures and really, like.
We were kind of there, though, man. Yeah. When we were in Venice, Italy, right? We were down there for an art show, and we were walking down these streets, and everything's, like, so old and pristine and historic. And, you know, we did. We're just like, I'm writing my name on this thing. So. I mean, we did it respectfully. We didn't write on anything that
somebody wrote on
tag,
it first,
you know. But we did it a lot bigger than they did. So we did it like, you know what? We're gonna write our name, fucking huge, on the side of this church, you know, or something like that, whatever
small,
it may be.
Small.
But we got to the art space, and the curators, like, I know James could say it the best. Hey James, can I get a quote over here, brother? What did the curator guy say? Come here, grab a mic. Come here, brother. Come on.
Turn tables and the mic.
Come on. Come on. You're good at come on. No, but you say it so well.
He's like, please, please. It's good, but don't.
He's like,
it's too much. It's too much. I like, but.
Oh, now you want to do it, right?
No, mind you. Mind you, we've only been there for like 8 minutes. Like, we just took a walk over the bridge. And by the time we got back,
like,
we'd be officials
this.
And everyone
graffiti,
called it.
No,
like,
no, too much. Not now. Please, please, stop.
That was
we also
fun.
Got chased a handful of times that time. And beat up by the authorities.
I love
so
Italy.
you can't bribe authorities in Italy, I found out. You can't do it. They looked at the money and slapped it on my hand. It wasn't cool. And then proceeded to beat my ass.
Any other questions?
Uh-oh. Oh, man.
Hold
yes,
on. There's so many
man.
Hands.
The young man in the front.
You,
the
yes.
The young man with the shorts. All year round.
Yo, we were in Sundance, and it was
like
negative
20
like
degrees.
Yeah, it was like negative frostbite. And this guy is like
in shorts,
red,
his
like
legs look like
chilling.
Beef jerky, dude. Like, this fucking
he's like, no, this is great. This is how I roll. Anyway,
what's your question?
How do we what?
How do you feel about 5 points?
Five
That's
points.
A question, dude.
5 points. It's a great place, man. It's a great outlet. It's like the only place in New York where kids could paint freely.
Yeah, is it going away?
I mean, they've been saying that for years. I know that they say that to kind of stir up media hype so everyone pays attention, throws a bunch of money, and then they keep it around. I know the owner wants to keep it, but he also likes money, just like everyone. So I hope they don't get rid of it. I hope they keep at least part of it and keep it going. But, you know,
it's
it wouldn't
historical.
Be, you know,
it's
if they keep part
value.
Of it as a museum, like keep part of those walls, bring them inside, like, because there's history there. I mean, I used to paint there before it was nothing. You know, it was just a building where they make donuts,
when
textiles.
Fun, when it was Fun Factory.
Before Fun Factory, you know? Like, they didn't even have fences there. You could just walk right into the freights.
And it used to be run by some pedophile guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if I say his name, but yeah.
No, don't
like,
say his name, but it was run by some guy. You know,
yeah.
he let him
bad, bad stories, man. Bad stories. The things you hear about that place. But
nah,
now,
but
it's awesome. And I hope they keep it alive because it's, like I said, it's a great outlet. I know people that come from all over the world, and they'll email mirrors, and they'll set up a wall, and they can come and, you know, that's their start to painting. So Keep it alive, yeah. Invest in 5 points.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. We're going to wrap it up here because we got this other panel that's coming on right soon.
We had so much fun.
I want to know, how can people find out about UR New York and keep up with Fernando Romero and Michael Baca?
Smoke signals.
send a pigeon.
Send a pigeon. You could find us at UR, the letter U, the letter R, newyork.com. We are also represented exclusive by Pop International Gallery on West Broadway in Houston, so you could see our work there. Or in the...
in the Citicorp building right now, we have an awesome installation, which we self-titled Corporate Thugging.
What?
Because we've infiltrated the corporate infrastructure with graffiti art. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, but it's urnewyork.com, urnewyork on Twitter, ski_urnewyork on Twitter.
Underscore,
as well.
Dog, yeah. A lot of underscores there. But yeah. Just go to the website and you could find us through there.
Or Google us.
Yeah.
What? Google me. Fellas. Well, thank you for thanks for talking shit for a while. Thanks for being part of Fat Lab.
Fat.
Thank you.
And thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Yo, you know, verbal diarrhea actually turned out to be somewhat relevant.
Yo, yeah, verbal diarrhea is all right.
Verbal
man.
Diarrhea of the mind.
Yo, of the mind.
Anyways, next time. Thanks again for watching Fat Public Access. Keep it locked right here on gold.fat.com. We've got Artists as Hackers panels coming right up, and then some more programming back with you at 9 p.m. So this is Fat Public Access. Keep it locked. Bye-bye.
Bye. Next time, we'll talk about snitching.